California, the makers of Rinso, America's biggest-selling package soap, present a new series of thrilling and exciting dramas of life in Big Town, starring Edward G. Robinson with Claire Trevor. The other day, I heard a woman say that the very feel of Rinso washed clothes is different. Well, now, I'm not an expert on the subject, and I must admit it sounded far-fetched to me. And I said so. Well, she explained that ever since she began using Rinso in her washer, her clothes came out beautifully soft and sweet and fragrant. It seems to me that's mighty important. You all know that your clothes come out whiter with Rinso, fully 5 shades whiter than with ordinary soaps. And you all know how Rinso suds protect washable colors. But just notice how sweet-smelling, how fresh-looking your clothes are when you use Rinso. Get a package of Rinso from your grocer tomorrow. In the story of Big Town, Steve Wilson, the managing editor of the Illustrated Press, is played by Edward G. Robinson. Lorelei, the society editor, is played by Claire Trevor. Our story opens in the offices of the Illustrated Press. Steve and Lorelei are talking.
Oh, now, Steve, I know perfectly well the only way I'm going to get you to take me to see Big Town University Pay State College next Saturday is by starting today. Now, you will take me, won't you?
Lorelei, State College is 130 miles from here.
Well, I haven't seen Glenda play once this season. Now, don't you think it's the duty of a society editor to see all the something or other star backfield man play football?
Well, 130 miles is quite a drive, even to see Penta play.
Oh,
Lorelei, I can't take a whole day off just to see a football game.
Did you ever take a whole day off to go fishing?
Oh, that's different.
Yes, you're right. Fish don't play football.
Now, the longer I live, the more I realize the weaker sex never weakens when they want something. But I'll make a bargain with you.
What?
Week from Saturday, I'll take you to see Big Town play Langford Tech if you let me have it.
What? Come in here. You know what happened. Well, Mr. Wilson has promised to take Miss Kilburn to a football game.
Well, congratulations, Lorelei. I didn't think you'd ever...
Yeah, never mind, Butch. What have you got on your mind?
Luigi Torelli. The father got knocked for a hit-and-run driver.
Well, we gave it a front-page box in the last edition. You saw it, didn't you? Or isn't the Illustrated Press your favorite paper?
But Steve, there's something funny about it.
Hey, Butch, I am glad you came in. I want you to go down to the city council meeting this afternoon. I think there may be fireworks.
Look, Steve, will you listen to me about this accident? I tell you, there's something screwy about it.
Hey, you're just as persistent as Lorelei. Now, what makes you think there's anything more to it than just a hit-and-run case?
A couple of things. Do you happen to know what business this Luigi Torelli was in?
No.
He was in the poultry business.
Oh.
I went down and checked. But there's only a couple of witnesses. One of them wouldn't talk, and the only joke I could get from the other was that Torelli was hit by a couple of guys in a black sedan when he went out to lunch.
But what's so suspicious about the fact that he was in the poultry business?
And here's something else that was funny, Steve. After I left the South Side, I went up to the police emergency hospital and asked Doc Williams about the poor guy.
Well, he hasn't died, has he?
No, but he was delirious. The doctor told me that when he was out of his head, he kept mumbling, "They did it. They did it. They said they'd do it."
Do what? You think that he meant they deliberately ran him down?
Why not?
Well, that's a novel idea. Have you seen Torelli?
No.
Where is he now?
They took him over to Central Hospital.
I see. Well, Butch, go back down to the South Side and talk to his family. See if anyone has been threatening Torelli. Cover every angle you can think of. I'll go over to the Central Hospital.
Okay, Steve.
Well, Galahad, have you found another dragon to slay?
Well, the Butch's guess is right. The poultry racket just made a bid for his third victim in a month.
But, Steve, poultry. Things like chickens and ducks and turkeys, somehow they don't go with thugs and gangsters.
Don't be naive, Lorelei. You've been on this paper long enough not to be amazed at anything. Now, look here. The retail prices on poultry have jumped 10% in Big Town in the last 3 months. Now, why do you suppose that is? Where's that extra 10% a pound going?
Steve, if you know your groceries, you'll find the prices on many things have gone up.
Yes, I know that, but there's no excuse for the rise of poultry prices in Big Town. No legitimate reason. I checked on it. The poultry dealers aren't making any more profit. Shipping rates haven't gone up. Retail overhead is exactly the same as it was.
Well, then what's the answer?
Well, there's only been one change in the whole retail setup. 3 months ago, a Poultry Dealers Protective Association was formed. They've got a fancy office down at the State Building. Nice gold leaf lettering on the door.
Oh, I don't see anything wrong with that. After all, dealers and other businesses have organizations.
Yes, but this Poultry Protective Association was not organized by the dealers. It was organized for them. It's a racket. A new racket that's just getting started. It's not only taking millions of dollars and nickels, dimes and quarters out of the pockets of every man, woman and child in Big Town, but it leaves honest shopkeepers, decent citizens of our community, at the mercy of hoodlums. remnants of some of the old mobs we helped smash.
You seem to be well informed on this subject. Why haven't you done something before
now? Because I haven't been able to find out how the mob operates. The poultry dealers won't talk.
I suppose they're scared to death.
Yes, and so long as decent people will refuse to talk, crime will thrive. Oh, but Caesar, ghost, here I sit schmoozing with you and I should be on the job. Can't find out about a racket while talking to a pretty girl. I've got to get to Central Hospital.
Well, you can't get rid of me. I'm going with you.
Okay, I haven't time to state any of the 16 reasons why you shouldn't. All right, grab your hat and come along.
Sorella's in this room, Mr. Wilson. I must ask you to be careful. He's very weak.
Thank you, Doctor. We're only asking a few questions.
I'll wait here in the hall, please.
All right, sir, Doc.
Hello, Torelli.
Who are you?
I'm Steve Wilson, managing editor at the Illustrated Press.
What the hell do you want?
Well, I want to have a little talk with you about your accident.
Well, do you care? I'm nobody.
You're a human being. You happen to be in a business that's had a lot of accidents lately.
I don't know what you mean.
Now, you know what I mean, Torelli. You know that within the last month, two other poultry dealers have had accidents. One stopped a bullet, and the second got in the way of a bomb. Now, you just happened to get run over by a hit-and-run driver.
No. It was an accident, I tell you. Just an accident.
Now, look, Mr. Torelli, I'm here to help you. And all the honest poultry dealers in Dick Town.
I don't know what you're talking about. I...
Really, what are you afraid of?
No, I don't know nothing. For myself, I'm not afraid. I know that maybe I'll never get up from this bed again. But please, my wife, my brother told me.
Yes, but you're not helping them by keeping quiet. If anything happens to you, your wife and your brother will have to carry on your business. They'll be up against the same setup that put you here. Now, would you tell me this much? Are you a member of the Poultry Dealers Protective Association?
No. Why do you ask me that?
You wouldn't join, would you? Because you found out it was just a racket. Isn't that it?
No. No, I don't talk. I don't talk, I tell you. I don't want no more trouble. No more. No more trouble. Please, go away. No more.
All right, Doctor. I'm sorry, Doctor, but this information is vital.
Maybe his wife and brother can help you. They're in the hall.
Thank you.
Oh, Steve, this is Mr. Torelli's wife, Maria.
How do you do, Mrs. Torelli?
And his younger brother, Tony. Tony, this is Steve Wilson, my boss.
Oh. Tony, what do you make of this accident your brother had last night?
Well, it's not an accident, Mr. Wilson.
Well, your brother says it was.
I don't blame him. He's afraid. Not for himself, but for Maria here and me. All his life he's looked out for me. All his life.
Well, Tony, I have an idea that you know who's responsible for this and why it was done. Don't you? Don't you? Now, look, you want to see the men who did this to your brother put where they belong. Who are they? What kind of a racket are they working on the poultry deal?
No, I won't say anything unless...
Unless what?
Unless my brother dies.
All right, Tony. I know how you feel. But look, if you should change your mind and feel like talking, you can reach me at the Illustrated Press.
Mrs. Torelli.
Oh, Doctor.
Yes.
Luigi is asking for you, but be careful.
All right, Doctor.
Don't talk to him any more than you can help.
Oh, no, please. Mr. Wilson, don't come again. It only makes more trouble.
Doctor.
Yes?
Just what chance does Luigi Torelli stand pull through this?
I'm afraid he hasn't got a chance. I've sent for Father Gillis.
Oh, Steve, how awful. Isn't there anything we can do, Doctor?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, in that case, will you do something for me? Now, believe me, I'm...
Doctor, come quick. Luigi's dying. Oh, Luigi mio. Don't believe me.
Perhaps you should wait, Mr. Wilson. Oh, Father Gillis, I'm glad you got here.
I came as quickly as I could, Doctor.
I feel so helpless. If there was only something we could do.
Yeah, there isn't much we can do for him, Lorelei. Now, here's a sample of how rackets work. They're real, real and heartbreaking. It's the little fellow who suffers the most, the small merchant around the corner.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Steve,
hold
my hand.
Thanks. I will be done.
I don't know when anything ever hit me so hard.
Yes, I know, Lorelei. And to think that there are thousands of Luigi Torellis all over the country when they refuse to pay tribute to racketeers die by planned accidents.
Maybe I better go, Steve. Unless you think you need me.
But I might need you very much.
Sonny, where are you going? What are you going to do?
He's back here.
Tony, what do you want?
I think I know what's on your mind.
Let me go.
I know what you mean to do if you can, but it's suicide, Tony. You're not a gunman, not a killer. You can't fight a whole mob.
Well, maybe not, but I'm going. I'm going to kill a man. Then I'll kill my brother.
Wait a minute. Listen to reason. Even if you kill this man, he's only a pawn. You won't get the real murderer of your brother.
You can't stop me. Nobody can stop me.
Tony, listen to Mr. Wilson. He's trying to help you.
Can he bring my brother back?
No, Tony, please.
Get out of my way.
Please get him.
Tony!
We've got to catch him, Steve.
No use. We can't stop him. Come on, I've got a better idea.
Hello, McNeil. Is Butch there with you?
Oh, well, thank heavens. Put him on the wire, quick.
Oh, Butch, Tony Torelli is out to get the man who killed his brother Luigi. Well, you know that territory like a book. Beat it down there fast and go to every hangout you can think of. You've got to get Tony Torelli and bring him back to my office. You've got to find him. I'm coming right back to the paper.
Want some more coffee, Steve?
Oh, no. Thanks,
my life. Oh, Steve, it's hopeless. Look, it's nearly daylight, and we haven't heard a word from Foot.
What time is it?
4:00. You must be dead. You've been all over town.
Oh, you must be pretty tired yourself, Lorelei. You haven't had enough rest. What is that?
Someone's coming.
Well, Foot! Foot, that you?
Yes, Steve.
You all right, Foot?
Sure, I'm all right.
Well, where's Tony?
The police have him.
Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't.
Where'd you find him?
I didn't.
But who did?
Cops.
Where?
In an alley.
Oh, my God. You don't mean he was...
Yes, Steve.
How?
Shot. Shot in the back.
Tony Torelli, Steve finds himself up against a blank wall. Fear of a fate similar to the Torelli's has silenced every poker dealer in town. Steve refuses to acknowledge defeat. He's worked out another plan, and now, 10 days later, he's driving to the Torelli Market with Lorelei and Foots.
Come on now, step on it, Foots. I told Maria Torelli I'd be at her shop by 5.
Okay, Steve, we'll make it with time to spare.
Steve?
Yes, Lorelei.
What are you going to do?
Well, I don't know yet, Lorelei. So far, I've run up against nothing but whispers, rumors, silence, and fear.
Did Maria give you a tip?
Oh, more than a tip. She's giving me a chance to be a poultry dealer.
What? You were a poultry dealer?
Yes, I've had it all arranged with Maria for days. You're now looking at Sam Morgan from Chicago, Maria Torelli's partner.
You certainly are in a rush to getting a new job.
I told Maria to phone me the minute the representative from the Detective Association turned up. I figure sooner or later they try to force her to join.
And have they?
Yes, half an hour ago. Huh. Maria told their, representative to come back for now and talk it over with her new partner.
But, Steve, what if they recognize you?
Lorelei, there's nobody more anonymous than the managing editor of a newspaper. That is, outside of his own colleagues.
We're almost there, Steve. What do you want me to do?
Let us out. And then drive down a half block and wait for us. I may want somebody tailed. If I do, I'll send Lorelei out to let you know.
Well, what'll I do in the meantime?
Well, you're coming in the shop, Lorelei, as a customer.
This is it, boss. See you later.
Come on, Lorelei.
All right. Oh, Mr. Wilson, I was afraid you would not get here. This man, he will be back any minute.
Well, let's get back in your office outside.
Yes, it is right back here.
All right. Now, Maria, you haven't forgotten, I'm your partner.
No.
I'm running this business for you. Now, what's my name again?
Sam Morgan from Chicago.
Good girl. Now, Maria, you're sure you're not afraid, are you? You're sure that you don't want to join the Poultry Association and pay them to protect you from their own hoodlums?
No. I'm not afraid now. What more can they do to me? They killed my husband. They killed my brother-in-law, Tony.
All right, Maria. Now, stay here in the office and wait. As soon as the association man arrives, you bring him back here and leave the rest to me, okay?
I understand.
Oh, for Mr. Wilson.
Yes?
I forget to tell you. Yesterday, a man, he wanted to buy my three shops.
Yes?
He only offered me half of what the shops are worth, so I tell him, no, I no sell.
I see. Well, who was it? What was his name?
A man who say he represents a Mr. Bellman.
Bellman? Well, Steve, he must be the bellman that owns that whole chain of meat and poultry shops.
Hey, that gives me an idea. Look, Maria. You go out front. And if the association man comes, you stall him for a few minutes. We're going to make a phone call.
All right. I'm making away.
All right, it's a natural. Hello, this is Steve Wilson. Give me McNeil. Lorelei, this may be a gift from the god. Mac, listen, I want some dope, and I want to ask it straight. What stores are owned by J.R. Bellman? When did he buy them? What happened to the previous owners? No, you can't reach me. I'll call you back in an hour. Yeah, step on it.
Steve, what's your angle?
Well, yesterday, Bellman tries to buy Maria's shops for a song.
Yes.
He refuses. And today, the Protective Association comes to call. Coincidence, maybe, but worth checking.
Mr. Morgan, the man from the association is here.
Just a minute. Lorelei, you beat it out that back door and come in front of the customer.
All right.
All right, Mrs. Torelli, show him.
Good afternoon, Mr. Morgan. Glad I caught you in this time. I'm Ed Davis of the Big Town Poultry Dealers Protective Association. I understand you're Mrs. Torelli's partner now. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I don't want to waste a lot of time there, so I'll come right to the point, Mr. Morgan. The Torellis never saw their way clear to join the Protective Association, but I can see you're a businessman. You'll want to belong.
Well, just what are the benefits by becoming a member?
Oh, we can make everything very easy for you. Everything you need in your business you'll find right in our organization. Why, we furnish men to unload the cars, trucks to haul your livestock, and furnish the crates you use. We even provide the livestock for you to buy, which is a big asset in itself. And all it costs is $2 a week for dues.
And what do the labor and trucks cost?
Oh, just a few cents more, but you want the best, don't you?
Yes, sir. What about the crates?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all?
Oh, nothing at all. We don't sell the crates. We just rent them to you.
Oh, how much?
Only 85 cents, and you get 15 cents back when you finish with it.
Yes, but I can build a crate for 12 cents.
Well, you might be able to at that. But our crates are awfully good. In fact, they're so good, we've passed a rule that all the members have to use them.
Yes, but doesn't all this make the price of chickens high?
Well, what of it? You don't have to pay it. You pass it on to your customers.
Ah, I see. Well, so that's what you have to offer.
That's it, Mr. Morgan. A complete service.
Well, Mr. Davis, thank you very much for this little talk, but I'm not interested.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't be hasty. You'd better take a little time to think it over.
No. I don't need any time, Mr. Davis. I'm not joining.
I see. Maybe I haven't made myself quite clear. I merely stress the advantages of belonging to the association. I have a couple of assistants out in the shop. They might be able to impress you with the disadvantages of not belonging. Mr. Williamson, Mr. Benedict, would you mind stepping this way, please?
What's up?
Yes, Mr. Morgan isn't impressed with my side of our story. I think you gentlemen better explain yours. Good evening, Mr. Morgan. Glad to meet you.
Now, gentlemen, what's on your mind?
Now, listen, Morgan, we'll lay it right in the line for you. Sir Davis told you how nice it was to be one of our members. We'll tell you how it is if you ain't.
Yes, now, wait a minute. Suppose I tell you. First, you break up my fixtures, that is. Maybe you'll poison a shipment of poultry or hijack a load. If that doesn't work, you'll go to work on me personally. If I still won't play ball, you'll try something more convincing, something like murder. Am I right?
Hey, Red, this guy knows the right answers.
Yeah, Muggsy. Hey, listen, Morgan, maybe you think we're bluffing. Maybe you ain't been told, being from out of town, just what happened to the guys who used to run this joint. Or maybe you don't read the papers.
No, suppose you tell me, Muggsy, just what did happen.
Well, I heard that one of the brothers, Luigi, kind of stepped in the way of a car. Accidental-like. And I think I read someplace where the other brother, he got a slug in the back. Out of a gun with a silencer. Poor fella. They say he never knew what hit him. Too bad, ain't it? Well, so long, wise guy. They'll be around the call. Soon. Come on, Red.
Shot in the back with a gun equipped with a silencer. Gun with a silencer.
Hey, what are you talking about?
Lorelei, it's breaking. Hey, you know, that Moxie. The guy in the brown suit.
What?
Well, get back out there and tell Foots to tail him. Never mind the other one. Tell Foots to tail Moxie to where he lives and then phone the office.
Well, what's it all
about? Never mind. Do as I ask you. I'm going to the office right now.
¶¶
6-foot call? Things are going too fast. Well, McNeil, what about Bellman? Have you got that dope?
Listen, Steve. He's chairman of the Christmas Turkey Club. You know, they give out a few thousand baskets each year.
Yes, and they have that boy's summer camp, haven't they? Yeah, but that doesn't interest me. I want to know about the... that is, if he has acquired any stores. Any stores recently?
Yes, 3.
Well, did you get the list of members of the Poultry Dealers Association?
Yes, and you know, Steve, I just happened to check, and not one of the owners of the last 3 stores he bought were members of the association.
Well, that's all I want to know.
Well, here's the report.
Thanks. What is it?
What's it on the wire, Mr. Wilson?
Oh, hello? Yeah? Oh, good. Wait a minute. 14 Center Street. Alone, huh? Well, great. You stay there. Look, if he leaves, you keep after him. Oh, I'm on my way with a couple of the boys from the Second Nation Department. Wait a minute. Where's Lorelei? Oh, with you, huh? Well, I might have known it. Well, keep her out of the way. I don't want her around when we call her mugs and go to work on him. There may be fireworks.
Steve, Muggsy's in that room at the head of the stairs. He's alone, and I think we can take him without any trouble if we move fast.
Yes, you can grab a rattlesnake by the head, too, if you're quick enough. Now, how are we going to get him out of that room?
Let me see. We could...
Now, wait a minute. I've got an idea. See that table at the head of the stairs with the picture on it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll knock it over and see what happens.
Right.
Now, listen, you gents.
What do you want us to do?
Go upstairs and plant yourselves on both sides of that door. The fella comes out of the room, and I knock over that table, jump him. If he has a gun, smack it out of his hand.
Okay, Mr. Wilson. I brought along a piece of lead pipe.
You want him out cold or on the hook?
No. Don't knock him out if you can help it. I want to save him for a little heart-to-heart talk. All right, now. Get going.
Okay, come on, Jim. What about me, Steve?
You better wait here at the foot of the stairs and keep an eye out for Lorelei. She'll probably pop in if she hears any shooting.
She's in the car. Watch your steps, Steve.
Come on, now, and be quiet. Okay, let her go.
Hey, where's she?
All right.
I'm
going to
go.
Don't you remember me?
Morgan.
Yeah.
You're the guy that was in Torelli's butcher shop.
Shut up, boy.
I get it. A copper, eh?
Well, it doesn't matter who I am.
What do you want? You ain't got nothing on me.
Well, you'd be surprised, Muggsy. I got this gun of yours with a silencer. When I turned it over to the police and they check it against the bullet that killed Tony Torelli, you'll burn, and you know
it. You're lying. It's the frame of the flat.
Leave me stalking, boss. Let me and Jim Morgan.
No, you can't do that. You ain't got a right to do that to me.
Well, you're a fine specimen of two-legged snake to be talking about rights. Anybody's rights. You'll talk quick and talk fast. The only question is, do you talk the easy way or the hard way? Now, do you want to save your hide or do you want the chair?
Who tipped you off? Who's been double-crossing me?
Well, a man hired you to kill someone. The man who hired you isn't safe till he puts you out of the way.
Oh, no, the big boss wouldn't do that. He's a square shooter.
We know you're the killer that got Tony with this gun. We'll prove it beyond a doubt, and you'll fry for it. Yes, what about the man who hired you? He'll get off free, scot-free, unless you...
Unless what?
Well, unless you turn state's evidence. Now, you've got to confess. Plead guilty. Give the DA the name of the man who paid you to pull the trigger on Tony Torelli. The man who paid you to run over Luigi Torelli. It was Bellman.
Oh, you know that. You know he's a big boss.
Yes, we know a lot more.
All right. All right, you got me down to rights. Now, you know, dope. Bellman's my boss. He paid me a bonus for the Torelli jobs.
How much?
$50.
$50. Well, times must be hard in the murder racket. Too much competition. Used to be 500. Never mind that. You're coming with us.
Where? What for?
Call on your boss to talk to Bellman.
No, you'll kill me. He'll have some of the boys get even in jail.
Oh, no, he won't. After tonight, he'll be behind bars himself, and so will all his boys.
Look, I'll sign a confession, but I won't go.
No, you're going with me to Bellman. Hold on, boys. I want to make a call. What's Bellman's number, Mike?
I'm telling.
What's the number, punk?
Quit whistling, you know. It's Overdale, 73.
Get me Overdale, 783. Yes, that's right. I say, Bellman does live in the suburbs. Hello, Mr. Bellman in? Oh, hello, Mr. Bellman. This is D. Wilson. Yes, that's right. It was St. Press. Well, I'm glad I caught you in. Say, I've just left a meeting of the Big Town Citizens Council, and your name was mentioned for chairman of the Civic Improvement League. Yes. Yes, I know, but this was a special meeting, and I'd like to come out and talk to you about it. Yes, right away. Look, if you don't mind, I'd like to bring 2 other members of the committee here with me. Oh, well, fine. Right away, then. You're in Overdale. What's the address? Oh, Sycamore Road. Good. Sycamore Road, eh? Well, what a coincidence. In the early days of Big Town, they used to hang men like Bellman from the sycamore trees of over there. Do you know that, Muggsy? Well, boys, you're now members of the Big Town Civic Improvement Committee. Come on. This fire feels good. You have a lovely home, Mr. Drummond. And this court, swimming pool. Yes, fine library full of priceless editions. I certainly envy you.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. How about this civic improvement committee?
Well, are you interested?
Oh, of course. Naturally, anything I can do to make Big Town a better place for people to live in.
Yes, I've always known that.
But what about the members of the committee? I thought they were coming with you.
Oh, well, they're right outside, Mr. Bellman. I just wanted to make sure you would be in position to accept the proposition we want to present to you.
Oh, I see. Well, who are these men? Do I know any of them?
Oh, yes, you know one of them. As a matter of fact, he's a business associate of yours.
Business associate?
Yes. I'll have them come right in, and we'll get right down to cases.
All right, gentlemen. Bring them in.
All right,
come on.
Mr. Bellman. All right, Muggsy, get in here.
Yeah, all right.
Yes, Muggsy, I want you to meet a fellow member of the Big Town Civic Improvement Committee. Mr. Bellman, one of our leading citizens.
What is this, Wilson? A joke? Who's this hoodlum?
Oh, I see you recognize his type.
Hiya, Bellman. So you fell for Wilson's gag. You're not as smart as I thought you were.
What's the big idea, Wilson? Who is this man? I never saw him before in my life.
Now, it's no use, Bellman. We've got you dead to rights. Now, Muggsy doesn't like the idea of going to the chair for the murder of the two Torelli boys and the other little odd jobs he performed for you. So he's taking his chances when we turn him over to the DA. Muggsy is turning state's evidence against you, and that makes him a chartered member of the Civic Improvement League. Better get your hat, Dolan. You're going to the DA's office to do your share. You're going to give them the names of that bunch of strong-armed salesmen you're using to organize the Poultry Dealers Protective Association.
Oh, so you've got it all figured out. All wrapped up. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Have you, Wilson?
Now, don't go near that desk. There might happen to be a gun in that drawer, and if you try to get it, you might get hurt.
Don't be a fool, Wilson. You have nothing to connect me with this poultry racket. Nothing but the unsupported statement of a small-time killer. For the record, as long as you're on.
Keep on talking, Bellman, but keep away from that desk.
That's right, and you've got to come here and accuse me. Now get out!
No, you don't. Bellman?
Steve, he's got a notebook in his
hand. Look out, Steve. He's trying to put it in the fire. Hey, I got him. Get that notebook out of his hand.
Hey, hold on, Putz. Give me that book, Bellman. Give it to me.
Let go of that book, Bellman, and I'll smack it.
Oh, never mind. I got it. Well, well, no wonder you wanted to destroy this, Bellman. Well, this is it. The whole case wrapped up in a neat leather-bound book. All right, get on that phone. Call the DA. Tell him to hop on it out here as quickly as you can.
Okay, Steve. Strike it for gun.
All right, Bellman. Now you don't have to talk. This little black book will do your talking for you. Big Town's got a lot to thank you for. With this little book to guide them, the police will have rounded up every one of your thugs before morning, and the Poultrymen's Protective Association will be washed up. Oh, yes, and as a reward, Big Town will give you a free trip to the state penitentiary.
Hello? Hello, is this Mr. Miller? Oh, just a minute, please. Steve Wilson's calling. Here you are, Steve.
Oh, okay. Hello, Miller. Listen, I've got the dope on the whole poultry gang. Names, addresses, and phone numbers. Well, you can round them up in an hour. Yeah, and I've got Tony Torelli's killer right here. Sycamore Road. Yes, I'll give you Big Town's leading citizen, J.R. Bellman, in person, with my compliments. Well, that'll pull the feathers out of the poultry racket.
Every woman in the audience who hates dishwashing, raise her right hand. I thought so. And I'll bet there are millions of hands up all over the country that would go up in answer to that. Well, then, as long as you have to do dishwashing, why not make it as easy as possible? Why not use Rinso? Well, you see, with Rinso, all you have to do is soak your dishes for a few minutes in those rich, active suds. Then, just a swish with your dish mop, a rinse, and they're all ready to dry. And do they sparkle? Even pots and pans come shiny clean without a trace of greasy film. So take a hint, ladies. Use Rinso in your dishpan just as you use it for laundry and all your household cleaning. All the characters and all the places named in Big Town are fictitious. Any similarity to living persons or places is purely coincidental. Next week at the same time, Edward G. Robinson with Claire Trevor will bring you another stirring drama of life in Big Town. The original music in tonight's program was composed and conducted by Fran Fry. Carlton Cadell speaking.
Attention listeners, keep your dials tuned to the same station for the Jolson Life Boy Show, which follows immediately. Al Jolson has for his special guests Marie Wilson and Charlie Butterworth.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.